Travis, and he has some great stories and some great songs picked out for you here this afternoon. And he also has brought along a few of his record albums, including his latest live LP for the Flying Fish people that are all up there at the booth. So, let me present to you here this afternoon, Mr. Gamble Rogers.
All right. Have I been trying to get back here? It's good to be in the Pennsylvania countryside again. Oh, I hear you. I'll pick it, white trash. This 9-pound hammer is a little too heavy for my size, loaded for my size. Going on the mountain, see my baby, ain't coming back, no, I ain't coming back. Roll on, buddy, don't you roll so slow. How can I roll when the wheels won't go? Now, I was mighty lucky to grow up one of 11 first cousins, all as close as brothers and sisters. My youngest cousin was named Shelby 3. Now, a name like that tells you three things off the bat. He was a Republican. From the day he was born, there were two Shelbys ahead of him. He was bound to be an overachiever. Christmas of his 10th year, Shelby 3 was presented with a Daisy Red Ryder lever action BB gun. Now, what do you suppose a 10-year-old overachiever is going to do to prove himself with his first BB gun? He went on out Red Bug Road all the way to the ex-governor Arundale Estate, where on the riverside of the property lies a cow pasture which contains, among other things, a latticed Victorian gazebo and a 2,400-pound Brahma bull. Shelby 3 took careful aim with his new BB gun and shot that bull squarely in the seat of his sovereignty, causing him straightway to levitate, to loom terrifically above the tree line, and then trumpeting like the avenging angel of doom, to clatter up along the fence way to where the strands of barbed wire were stapled into the corner boards of the Bean Creek Baptist Church. Inside the sanctuary at this precise point in time, the Right Reverend Jeremiah Proudfoot stood forth, delivering his direful prognostication concerning the awful reality of the beast of the apocalypse.
By the time Arundale's bull had torn the fifth plank of clapboard off the altar wall of the church, they had more pilgrims come to the rail in earnest solicitation of spiritual salvation than in the entire prior history of the fellowship. Hallelujah. Here now. After this incident at the Baptist Church, all of the philosophers downtown at the Purina store began to refer to my youngest cousin as the conversion factor. A ponderous moniker, to be sure, but a nickname much loved by my youngest cousin, because it was earned and not handed down. Roll on, buddy, don't you roll so slow. How can I roll when the wheels won't go?
certainly I have been given to savor the glorious honor of having been proclaimed the Troubadour Emeritus of all Ocklawaha County, Florida. All this by virtue of having performed for 20 consecutive years as the house entertainer at the Terminal Tavern in Snipes Ford. Because of my position there of centrality, I'm able to see the Terminal Tavern in its true light as a temple of culture, as a taproot to certain precious wellsprings of unstifled human behavior. Wellsprings otherwise tragically silted over with the benign compost of gentility and decorum. The Terminal Tavern lies on Redbug Road between Snipes Ford and Bean Creek, Snipes Ford being our county seat and center of literacy. Which is to say that everybody knows what everybody else is doing, but we still read the newspaper to find out who got caught at it. Beyond this, Ocklawaha County is celebrated for its outsized number of rural alchemists. Now, that's not what you're thinking. I mean, we have an inordinately large contingent of citizens who spends the bulk of their waking hours puzzling out novel ways to bleach their used coffee grounds so they can sell them to the tourists on the interstate for grits. Which goes a long way toward explaining why so many northerners don't care a hoot for southern cooking. On my knees, and I thought I heard a chicken sneeze, or just the rooster saying his prayers, thanking the Lord for the hens up to stay. All the roosters praying, and the hens are laying, and little pullets just plugging along the best way they know how. Now here I am in Philadelphia talking about chickens. I don't know any more about poultry this afternoon than I did 20 years ago when I started picking this tune at the Terminal Tavern in Snipes Ford. But I'll tell you one thing. If you want to buy chickens in Ocklawaha County, Florida, there is one place to go, and that's Arendelle's Purina Store on the square in Snipes Ford. And chickens ain't all you can get at Arendelle's. You can get philosophy, metaphysics, ontology. Just go around the corner of the building to the loading ramp which faces the square, for it is here upon this most humble proscenium that there has gathered time out of mind a distinguished circle of local philosophers and rusticated sages who, through the assiduous cultivation of dialectic and discourse, have put in place a philosophy of existence founded on one dazzlingly simple revelation. Life is what happens to you while you're making other plans. Now, you know, when I was just a little boy, my mother always said to me, son, don't you be going down to that Purina store, hanging around that loading ramp, listening to those old men talk that talk. Why shouldn't I said. She said, because you don't have the judgment. Well, how do I get judgment? I replied. She said, well, in order to get judgment, you have to have experience. What's experience? I asked. Never mind, she said. I went down to the loading ramp and confronted those philosophers. I said, what's experience? They said, experience is what you get when you didn't get what you really wanted in the first place. Right then and there, I began to see that I might as well go ahead and listen to them talk that talk, because I was starting in right there to learn that it's always easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. Hear that. Good people, I say to you, It takes a compassionate man to covet a three-legged dog. And it takes a sorry son of a gun to name that dog Flat Tire. Now, when I'm talking about sorriness, I'm talking about Still Bill. Bill moves so slow, you got to line him up with a fence post to be sure he's in motion. Bill is so patently inert, the bearings on his self-wind wristwatch froze up. Bill was grievously overserved by an apprentice bartender at the Terminal Tavern, such that temporary blindness ensued. The doctor said, Bill, you got to wear these black eye patches. Can't do nothing but sit home and listen to the TV. Rest your eyes a while. First thing next day, here comes Still Bill, right down the main street of Snipes Board, blind as a bat, bouncing off parking meters with alacrity. That three-legged chihuahua running interference. Bill trying to look cool, eating a Baby Ruth candy bar. He walked by the Baby Grand Theater. He walked by the Unitarian Church. That's the one with the lightning rod on the steeple. Those philosophers down at the Purina store say, these Unitarians trust the Almighty in everything except electricity. Bill and Flat Tire move on down the street, temporarily lose their footing on a sheet of glare grease in front of brother-in-law's restaurant. Now they come up on the loading ramp. That's where the senior philosophers hang out, swapping those tails, telling those lies. The head philosopher, Agamemnon Jones, watches Bill pass by. He says, now you take old Bill there, boy. Sorry is as sorry does, I always say. I'll never forget the time Bill came home. He'd no sooner shut the ignition key off in his old pickup truck, parked it in the yard, than he became aware of the most incredible spate of keening and wailing billowing forth from his upstairs bathroom window. And he recognized the harsh and acidulous tones of his good wife, War Bunny. And it seemed as if she had been overwhelmed with dire exigency. He ran up the stairs, and as he ran, he visualized her plight. He had not expected her back so soon. He had taken advantage of her absence to perform some much-needed tasks of home repair, specifically the re-enameling of the toilet seat. He knocked on the door and said, honey, it's me, Billy. All right? She said, you idiot, I'm stuck. He tried the door, and it was locked. He said, let me in, and I'll help. She said, I can't get to the door, you fool, I'm stuck. And the door was indeed made fast against untimely intrusion, as War Bunny was well known in these pastoral environs as a righteous woman. Bill went out to the tool shed and gathered the tools necessary for the extrication of his spouse. A putty knife, a can of wheel bearing grease, a crowbar, and a socket wrench set in the event he had to dismantle the entire accommodation. Ran the ladder up the side, chinned himself over the sills. His worst fears were confirmed, for here he encountered his worthy spouse, mad as a boiled owl. He said, honey, I'll have you out of this in no time at all. He took a dollop of the wheelbearing grease, applied it, broke out the crowbar to no good advantage. He had no recourse but to dismantle the accommodation. This he did, and helped her up to her feet. Now, good people, you've got to visualize this right now. War Bunny came up just a little bit rubber-legged. She had been seated 17 hours. She was in a jackknifed attitude because the seat came up with her. She was hardly ambulatory. Bill carried her down the stairs and across the yard, and then try as he might, he couldn't get her into the cab of the pickup truck in that attitude. He had to take her around the side of the truck, put her on her hands and knees in the bed of the truck. Then he went around front, climbed in the cab, fired her up, and just took right off down through the middle of Snipes Ford. Pulled up in front of the doctor's office, carried her up the walk, through the waiting room, into the operating room, set her up on the table. The old doc came out and made about 3 complete circles. Bill said, well, doc, ever see anything like that before? Doctor said, why, yes, Bill, but never with a frame around it. I'll never forget the time we went to hear our first Grand Ole Opry show. It was Ernest Tubb and Earl Scruggs and Mother Maybelle and the Carter Girls and John Arcade. But the little lady who stole our hearts away that night was named Martha Carson. Martha Carson. She came out wearing a miraculous white dress and carrying a tiny tambourine with which she testified to the likes of Moses and Jesus.
In those days, there were just two kinds of music that swung for the white world. Dixieland and white gospel music.
What made this white gospel music swing the way it did? Well, over on her left side, Miss Carson had a big burly dude slapping an upright bass in a hot microphone in double time. Sounded like this. Over on the other side, she had three young men in business suits singing in harmony, kind of like the Jordanaires in a one microphone. Sounded like this. Right behind her, a young man with glasses quarter of an inch thick playing a big blonde Gibson guitar through a half-acre-sized Supro amplifier sitting up in a metal camp chair. Sounded like this. And then she got to slapping that tambourine against her leg and singing and we were carried away on the wings of a snow-white dove to a paradise where music was a main message. On the rock where Moses stood, on the rock where Moses stood. Well, if I could, I surely would stand on the rock where Moses stood. Oh, sinner, remember me. Oh, sinner, remember me. Well, if I could, I surely would stand on the rock where Moses stood. About 6 months later, we went back to hear another Grand Ole Opry show. They brought out a young man from Memphis, Tennessee. They said, be kind to this boy. We think you're going to be a star. About that time, a strange-looking apparition skittered out from the edge of the stage wearing a burgundy-colored tuxedo coat, sharp-skinned pants, black and white saddle Oxfords with his hair done up in a coiffure, which cosmetic science hollered. First thing I noticed about this kid was he moved kind of funny. Second thing I noticed was he was using Martha Carson's little bass man and little guitar man, and those old boys were playing the same righteous church licks behind the stranger that they had played behind the lady. But this time, they played a whole lot in the sovereign key of E. School, where you may drop in Cadillac, don't you be nobody's fool, baby. Come back, baby, doll. Come back, baby, doll. Well, come back, baby, I wanna play house with you. Well, baby, 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 baby. Come back, baby, I wanna play house with you. Play house now. Trying to understand, I'd rather see you take a little girl than a big woman of the band, baby. Oh, we went running back there. We said, who is that boy with the red coat on? They leaned out. They said, boys, that's the Memphis Flash, the Hillbilly Cats. We said, what's his name now? They said, Elvis. And he was 17 and a half years old and randy as a boar coon. Slow this way down now and try to show you right where this 1950s rockabilly music came from. It came from a lot of different places. The mouth of Elvis Presley and the head of Colonel Tom Parker and the picking of Chet Atkins and the bass slapping of Bill Black and guitar stylings of Scotty Moore. But in a strange and a wonderful kind of way, it came out of the mouths and the hearts of the gospel singers, the white gospel singers, the Sam Cooks and the Blackwood Brothers and the Singing Lefevers, the Aretha Franklins. And it started like this, and you can help me.
Well, well.
Say it with me.
Well, well.
Now, it's not right unless it's got a little quaver in it.
Well, well.
Martha Carson would start out, she'd sing,
well, well, sweet love, sweet chariot, come in for to carry me.
For to carry me home. And then she would start slapping that tambourine against her leg, and she would go,
swing down, sweet church, stop and let me ride. Swing down, church, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, come and easy. Got a home on the other side. Why don't you swing down, sweet church, stop and let me ride. Swing down, church, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, come and easy. Got a home on the other side.
This old house wants you, my children. This old house wants you, my wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life. This old house once rang with laughter. This old house knew many shouts. Now she trembles in the darkness as lightning walks about. I ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix those shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Got time, oh, no hinges, no to mend, no window pane. I'll need this house no longer. Getting ready to meet the same. Well, how lovely's a-sleeping. He don't know I'm gonna leave. Else he'd get up from the fireside and sit and howl and grieve. But my hunt lays over. Ain't gonna hunt the current almost. Gabriel Dunbar in my chariot when the wind blew down the door. I ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more. Ain't got time to fix no shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Got time, oh, no hinges, but I'm in no window pane. I'll need this house no longer. Getting ready to meet the same.